This is The Rounds Table.
Welcome back to the show, Rounds Table listeners. Thanks for tuning in for another great week at the table. We have another new fantastic guest on the show today, and I'm very excited to introduce you to him. His name is Dr. Freddie Frost. He's a general internist specializing in respiratory medicine. He's also a research fellow in respiratory medicine at Liverpool Heart and Chest Hospital. He joins us today all the way from jolly old England. Dr. Frost, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Kieran. Really good to be here. I'm really looking forward to discussing these two articles.
So we are growing our international appeal and reach, and we are lucky to have a UK perspective on respiratory medicine this week. And Dr. Frost is going to introduce to us the article he chose for this week. Take it away, Freddie.
Thanks, Kieran. So the article that I'm going to talk about today was published in the New England Journal of Medicine on the 5th of April. The lead author is Rahul Bhatnagar. He's from the Academic Respiratory Unit in Bristol here in the UK. And it has the title, Outpatient Talc Administration via Indwelling Pleural Catheter for Treatment of Malignant Pleural Effusion.
Homegrown talent, it sounds like. So tell me, Freddie, what was the bottom line for this randomized trial?
So, Kieran, the bottom line in this article is that in this randomized control trial across 18 centers in the UK, talc plus indwelling pleural catheter is superior to indwelling pleural catheter alone for achieving pleuridesis.
So when I first read this article, I mean, it's obviously an important finding in the sense that there's going to be a difference, as you'll soon find out. But I really wanted to know why you chose this article and why is this an important study as far as advancing clinical medicine such that it made the New England Journal of Medicine. Can you give us a little perspective on that, Freddie?
Kieran, I think there's a couple of things here. Firstly, it's not often that interventional randomized control trials are performed in people with a palliative diagnosis. For obvious reasons, they're often a difficult patient cohort in which to perform studies. So I think partially it's recognition of what the authors have actually achieved here in completing this study. Second of all, pleuridesis is actually quite a burdensome procedure, particularly if a patient has to come into hospital, undergo a chest drain, then drain to dryness, followed by talc, which can sometimes, the admission can sometimes take up sort of 5-6 days. So the fact that this study used a outpatient protocol and patients didn't need to be admitted to hospital potentially has ramifications for pleural surfaces as well as obviously the patients themselves.
And Freddie, I think you're being strategic. You've clearly listened to the show before. You know I am very interested in palliative care research, so an excellent choice, I must say. But I certainly agree that it sounds like there is some very valuable information and questions that we need to answer about how to help this unfortunately very sick population, but there's still lots we can do for them. So take me through the design of the study. Where did it take place and how did they go about answering these questions?
So, Kieran, the study was a patient-blinded randomized control trial that was performed across 18 centers in the UK. Some of these centers were large tertiary centers. Some of them were sort of smaller secondary centers. And patients were considered for inclusion as long as they had a malignant pleural effusion and a life expectancy of greater than 2 months. The malignant pleural effusion could be from a primary anywhere in the body, didn't have to be a lung primary. They were excluded if they had had previous pleuridesis attempts in the last 8 months on that side, or if they had loculated fluid on ultrasound or evidence of lung entrapment.
So we're looking at individuals with an incurable cancer who have a malignant effusion who are expected to live long enough to benefit from the intervention, and those who have not failed prior attempts. So we're really looking at a selected group of individuals overall to test whether this is an effective treatment or not. What was the actual treatment, Freddie? Take us through the intervention.
So the question that the study investigators wanted to answer was, is the addition of talc to indwelling pleural catheter better than indwelling pleural catheter alone at achieving pleuridesis? So clearly, as you alluded to there, there's some selection going on in that all patients were undergoing indwelling pleural catheter anyway. So after they'd had their indwelling pleural catheter, all patients then have routine follow-up care as per their local hospital, local center for 10 days. This included ambulatory drainage in the community, which was seen to be approximately 2 to 3 times during those 10 days. On day 10, they then returned to their study investigators and had drainage in front of the study investigators and a chest x-ray was taken. If the chest x-ray showed that lung apposition was greater than 75%, so less than a quarter of the lung was obscured by fluid, then at that stage they were randomized. Now, if they had more than a quarter lung worth of fluid on the chest x-ray, then they were excluded. So those patients were excluded, and everyone else, i.e. those with a small pleural effusion, were randomized to either talc or placebo, which was 50 ml saline, and both interventions were instilled into the indwelling pleural catheter via opaque tubing and from behind the patient, such that the investigators deemed it was a patient-blinded intervention.
Wow, okay, so we are really looking at an even further selected population of an already selected population to begin with. Tell me, Freddie, give us a little perspective from your experience in respiratory medicine. How frequently will patients with a malignant effusion receive an intrapleural catheter? Is this a standard of care that all people will receive? Or, again, are we further selecting down our population and those who are interested in this particular type of intervention?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think in the last few years, there was a debate as to whether or not a high proportion of the malignant pleural effusion should be treated with indwelling pleural catheters as the first intervention. You can put them in and you can always take them out, although often they are left in permanently. I think locally where I work, if someone is having symptomatic recurrences of pleural effusion that's requiring drainage, or there's a suspicion that they're at presentation that that's the way they're going to be going, then that's the sort of patient group that we start discussing indwelling pleural catheters with.
Fair enough. So take me through what they actually wanted to measure as success of this talc pleurodesis. What were they measuring as their primary outcome, so to speak?
So after these patients had had the pleurodesis, they went home and they had routine local follow-up again, regular drainage as the study investigators saw fit. And the primary outcome was the rate of pleurodesis at 35 days. Now, the investigators defined pleurodesis as when there was two things present. The first thing being three consecutive drainages that yielded less than 50 mils. And then the second thing, there also had to be a chest x-ray that showed less than 25% opacification of a hemithorax. So again, less than a quarter of the lung field taken up by fluid. Secondary outcomes that they looked at included some quality of life markers. They also looked at the total volume drained over the course of the study period. And they also looked at the pleurodesis rate at 75 days, which was the last study visit.
All right. So that makes sense. You're just trying to measure whether this is a successful procedure. And that obviously is done overall to try to improve quality of life and symptom control. So I think that's a fair secondary surrogate outcome there as well. All right. I get it. Take us through, what did they find? Ready? Take us through the main findings here.
So the main results of the study, Kieran, were that they found significantly higher rates of pleurodesis in the talc arm as compared to the placebo arm. So 30 patients in the talc arm achieved the outcome compared to 16 in the placebo arm. The hazard ratio was 2.2 and that had a p-value of 0.008. The secondary outcomes also favored the talc arm. There was significantly higher quality of life in the talc group. There was a 50% pleurodesis rate at day 70 compared to 25% in the placebo arm, and numerically the volume drained favored the talc arm in that they drained 1.3 liters across the study period compared to an average of 3.2 in the placebo arm, although that number was not statistically significant. Perhaps more importantly, there was no increased number of blockages in the drain, which is something that you worry about when you instill talc, and equally there was no significant difference in adverse events between the two groups across the study period.
All right, so all of those outcomes seem to line up in the right direction. We see an improved success of pleurodesis that improves your overall quality of life, and that's reflected by a reduction in the volume that you drain. Whether that was powered, you know, appropriately for a statistical difference between the volume or not, I don't think really matters in this case. It all seems to make sense. One thing that I immediately came to mind when I was reading through this trial, Freddie, was this is a sick population. They have malignant pleural effusions. And although randomization should balance this, was there any differences found between the rates of death in either arm?
Yeah, so the randomization, as you would expect, did a decent enough job of evening out the